Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
I ask that you take hold of my life and use me as an instrument to bring your word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Can I hear a louder amen? Okay, once again, our team is furnished and prepared, standing on the finished work of Jesus. Our text is Mark 14 from verse 12 to 17. Let's read that. Do you have it in NIV version? I would prefer if you can give that to me in NIV. NIV version. Is it available? Okay. Let me read from here. Mark 14 from verse 12. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house, he enters. The teacher asks, 'Where is my guest room? Where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. Praise the Lord. Verses 1 and 2. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it was customary for them to sacrifice a lamb. That takes us back to Old Testament, to the book of Exodus. The people of Israel were held captive in Egypt. They were in captivity in Egypt for years, 430 years. When time came for them to be set free, God raised Moses and sent Moses to Egypt with a message to Pharaoh. And he said, "Go and tell him, Pharaoh, let my people go." Moses went with the message God sent him with. And when he delivered the message to Pharaoh, Pharaoh replied, "Who is that God that I should obey him?" That's because he sees himself as God. Because the book of Ezekiel tells us that Pharaoh is the God that lieth in the river Nile. So he sees himself as God, as a God. And then when he heard that another God have sent a servant and said, "Let my people go," the question was, who is that God? Is there another God beside me? And God said, "Okay, I will teach you a lesson. I want you to know there's another God, the one that created you." So he introduced the templex. Send the first or the ninth one. Pharaoh refused to allow the people of Israel to go. Then God, after the ninth one, God spoke to Moses and said to Moses, "Remaining one, and this one is my last card. I will send this, and when I send this plague, Pharaoh must allow you people to go. He must release you people." Okay, but this last plague has its protocol. What is called the Passover protocols. Unlike the other nine plagues. So this one has protocols, and you have to observe the protocols. And then he told him, the first thing is that every family have to get a lamb. For every family, we kill a lamb, and any family that will not be able to finish the meat of that lamb, they have to actually join with another family. The intention is that the meat should not be left behind. In fact, later he said, if you are not able to finish the meat, you have to burn it. Don't leave it there. So each family have to kill a lamb. And then the blood, you have to put it on the lintels of the door. And on the doorpost, you have to put it there. Then in the night, I will pass over. I will pass over the families of Israel, but every Egyptian home I will enter, and then I will kill every firstborn of humans and animals. Then he said, you are going to also eat it with bitter herbs. You are not going to boil the meat. You will roast it. You will roast the meat. And then you will eat this prepared. You will tuck in your cloak, put your belt, put on your sandals, and then eat it in a haste, because you must leave this place. Pharaoh cannot continue to hold you. Can't. You will leave. So, after giving this instruction, he now added something. He said, look, this is going to be a festival for you, the Israelites, every year. So every year you are going to have a feast. It's something that you are going to be commemorating every year at the 14th of this very month. Every year, every family will kill a lamb. You will hold, have a festival now to commemorate what I did for you. So you can imagine from that point in time, that's why the scripture said it was customary. So it had become a custom that every year each family must kill a lamb. So you can imagine from that time till the time of Jesus, that had been a norm. In Israel, every year at the 14th day of this month, they have to kill a lamb. They have to hold that festival. So it's something that I used to for years till the time that Jesus came. Now, when Jesus came, and it was also time for this feast, the Bible said here, at the first day of this feast, it lasts for 7 days. Now, on the first day, which means that when you go around this, the land of Israel, at that point in time, that every family must be in preparation. They must be preparing for that feast. Now, these people that were disciples of Jesus now, at the point in time, they also came from their different families. Before they came to Jesus, these are things they have been into. Every year, they know that they have to prepare. They know they have to run around. They have to gather the things, get a lamb, buy the food, the ingredients, and everything. And now, they are disciples of Jesus. And the time had come again for this festival. I believe, having observed their master, because the Bible said that is the first day of the feast. Before the first day, every family, head of every family, must have made preparations. Am I right? Now, this is the first day. And I believe they had never seen Jesus talk about it. They have never heard him talk about it. They have never, Jesus didn't send any of them to buy ingredients. In fact, they never made provision of any lamb anywhere. Please follow me gradually. So, I believe in their hearts, they must have been thinking about it. What's going on here? How are we going to do about this? Now, I believe they must also have been worried also. What's going on? How are we going to do this? Then, maybe few of them, you know, someone courage, and they went to Jesus. Hello? Are you following me now? And they went to Jesus. So they now put up the question. Because the Bible said, Jesus' disciples asked him, they put up this question, where do you want us? So notice, the first question is where? Location. Where do you want us? Then the second part of it is to prepare, make preparation for this feast. Now listen, Why that question? The number one question, where? The Bible says, Jesus talking to his disciples, he said, the birds of the air have nests. The foxes, they have what? Holes. But he said, the Son of Man has no place to put his head. Then they know that in the Jewish land, each family, every family head has a home. And it's in your house that you are going to eat this feast, this lamb. But their master doesn't have any house. Follow me gradually. No house, no home. So it's like, how are we going to do this time around? So they ask him, where? Because we know you don't have any house. So where are we going to hold this thing? Where are we going to hold it? Then the second question. We have to prepare. We have not bought anything. So they presented this question to Jesus because they were worried. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. They were worried. And then I know they were surprised. When they now, after they asked their question, then Jesus looked at them and said, now go into the city. Because this Passover feast must be held inside the city. And that city is Jerusalem. So go into the city. Now, as you are going, a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Take note of that. The man will meet them. Not them that will meet the man. The man will meet them. But the man must be carrying a jar of water on his head. So the man will meet them. So when you meet the man, or when the man meets you, then follow him to the house he will enter. Then ask, because you will see the owner of the house. Then ask the owner of the house, where is my guest room? I don't know whether you saw that. My room. My guest room. My room. My own. I don't know when he built it. But he's the builder of all things. He owns all things. He said, my own guest room. He will show you. And you will discover that everything is what? Furnished and prepared. Now listen. It's normal for them to worry about how are they going to celebrate this. It's normal. But listen. They have changed a new master. It's no longer like before. Now, they are associates of Jesus. Now, they are members of Jesus' family. That's why they went to Jesus as the head to inquire, where are we going to do our own celebration? Because they have met a new master. It is the responsibility of the master to provide everything they needed, with him as the Lord that knows the end from the beginning. Kai, hallelujah. He's so much aware that there's no need to worry. There's no need to worry. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. No need to worry. Because this is the first day. And being the first day of the feast, remember, once the feast starts from the first day, no work should be done. So nobody should go to market now to buy anything. Until the first day, they've never seen the master make any preparation towards this. So it's like they thought they're already stranded about the whole matter. But you see, if you're a follower of the Lord, and if he's your leader, if he's in charge of your life, you can't be stranded in life. Can I hear a louder amen? I said, can I hear a louder amen? Now, listen carefully. Before they joined Jesus, they knew how they do run around. Made purchases. Are you hearing me now? And then prepare for this. And they came in to Jesus with the same mentality. Are you hearing me now? Now, they were thinking we need to run around again. But the issue is that there's a change of master. Listen to me. I want to bring this thing down to you so that you can understand the revelation he saw. What God revealed to him. Can somebody pray, God, open my eyes to see? Listen. When you were an unbeliever, are you hearing me now? It is by your human strength and effort that you take care of your life. Everything you need, you fight for it. You work, labor for it. You work for it. Now that you have come to the Lord Jesus, now that you have become a disciple of Jesus, are you hearing me now? It's no longer the same. The pattern have changed. Are you following me now? The pattern have changed. Because you have come to the Lord. You have come to the Lord Jesus. So, as many as has come to him, listen to me, he takes over. He is one in charge. Because when you come to a kingdom, it is the responsibility of the king to take care of the welfare of his subjects. Hi. Are you hearing me now? Now, that is why in Matthew 6, you hear Jesus. You know, he said to his disciples, you see, don't worry for what to eat. Don't worry for what to drink. Eh? Don't worry for what you will wear. Is life not more than the clothes? Is it not more than the food? Then he said, look at the birds of the air. They don't own no farm and they have no barn. Yet, can somebody tell your neighbor, you are Heavenly Father. You didn't hear that. You are Heavenly Father. Feeds them. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. They don't have barn. They don't even cultivate anything. They don't plant. They don't sow seed. But your Heavenly Father feeds them. You are the sons in the house. I don't know which father that will take care of the animals in the house more than his own children. Okay. Listen to me. There is something God wants to deal with in the life of every believer here. God wants to handle anxiety. God wants to handle worriness. Are you hearing me now? To let you know that those things you are worried about, he has taken care of them. Okay. Are you hearing me now? He has taken care of them. He says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. And every other thing. Can I hear someone say every other thing? Every other thing will be added unto you. Now listen. If you are the one that is running after them to get them by yourself, please help me look at your hand. Open your hand. Look at your palm. What is the size of your palm? Can you see the size? Now, if you put your hand to fetch food, rice, you can only get what your hand can contain. But he said every other thing will be added, not by you. It is him now. Excuse me, what is the size of his hand? So he is the one now to give you. Is it sometimes when a lad comes, he says, have you dropped? Eh? When he puts it to you, you will know. So he said to you, don't worry. Don't worry, don't worry. Seek you first my kingdom and his righteousness. Now listen, he said again, your father knows, Kai, that you are in need of these things. These are the things that the Gentiles are running around for. Don't forward them to run around for it. Your father will take care of that. Now listen, listen. when they join Jesus, they don't understand that the pattern have changed. Joseph is the typology of Jesus. So God knew that famine is coming, and he knew how many years it will last. So he took care of that problem for the Jewish people, for the Israelites, even before it came. So he sent Joseph ahead of them. And Joseph is also the typology of Jesus, because he brought food. His father sent him, and he brought food to his own brethren. And they saw him and said, "This dreamer, look at him, he's here. Then what shall we do?" They tore his clothes. Remember, they removed the coat of many colors. That was how they tore the cloth of Jesus and crucified him naked. So, and it is his brethren that did it that to him. The same way, the same Jewish people, the brothers and brethren of Jesus, crucified him. And then tore it in and then threw him inside the pit. But later on, they brought him out. That was death and resurrection. And then he came out. Then they sent him to Egypt. He now went to Egypt and then assumed the throne. Just like the master ascended. And then he's sitting on the throne. And then he married the daughter of the priest in Egypt. Just like Jesus married the church. We are the Gentiles. Then while he was there, God sent him ahead to make provision for what they will eat. The owner of the land, the owners of the land, and the people that are subject to Pharaoh, they bought the food they ate. But the Israelites didn't pay. Because their brother, hey! Hallelujah! I say hallelujah! Their brother is in charge. Tell your neighbor, your brother is in charge. Jesus is my brother. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's in charge of the affairs of the universe. Why the Gentiles are suffering? No, I will not suffer like them, because my King is in charge. I say your King is in charge. He prepared the best place for them, Goshen. That's where they will stay. Hayakaboshua kata. Every worriness and anxiety, it must die in your life. Can I hear a louder amen? Can I hear a louder amen? It must die. Their brother was in charge. So whatever thing they need, he provides for them. They were enjoying. They were not paying for anything, because their brother is in charge. You know, when they came back to him after their father's demise, they came to beg him. I said, "We know we offended you. Please don't be harsh on us." He said, "Don't worry. God sent me ahead. He saw this thing that happened. He sent me ahead to be here for you. Jesus is somewhere for you." When the disciples met him and said, "Where are we going to?" He already had been there for them. They were worrying, "How are we going to prepare this feast?" He knew that everything had been taken care of. He knew that everything had been taken care of. So he sent them and said, "Go to the city. Go to the city. Go to the city." And then they left. Now listen. Listen, he sent two among the disciples and said, "Go." The two went and saw everything just like he said. There are ministers God have sent ahead. Oh God, they have tested the goodness of the kingdom. You see what we are telling you, that everything has been furnished and prepared. There are people that have seen it and tested it. They are telling you, "Don't worry, just come on, come on, come on, don't worry." They're telling you, "Don't worry, come on, we have gone and we have seen it." It's like that. There's no deceit in it. You know, he said, "In my father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." For every of his promises, when you read it, add that sentence: "By his stripes you are healed." If it is not so,
I have told you. Are you what I'm saying now? Yes. For every of his promises, add it at the end of it. So they went and they saw and they came back. I believe they told others, we saw things exactly the way he showed us. But listen, when he said them, he said, why go in? A man that is carrying a pitcher of water will meet you, not you meet him. So when God send you, are you hearing me now? He already also have released the Holy Ghost to minister, take over from you. And so you will collide with him. You will not be faster than the Holy Ghost. You will meet at the same, at the proper place. Two of you will meet at the right time. Come on, God is everywhere, we know it. But there is a meeting place where you meet with God. There is a manifestation in what we call the manifesting of his presence. It happens in a place. Jacob was running away. And then when he slept, where he lay down and slept there, and he had a dream, he said, God, God is here, I didn't go. This house of God. No, God is everywhere. But we have chosen to reveal himself to you there. Listen to me, you will not be faster than God. And you will not be slow. He will meet with you at the right place. In the name of Jesus. Can I hear in the name of Jesus? I say in the name of Jesus. Ah! Isaac has his father. He said, I can see the wood. I can see the knife. But I carry the fire. He said, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? Elijah said to him, don't worry. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And they continue their journey. But the Lord provided on Mount Moriah. Tell your neighbor, on Mount Moriah, the Lord will provide. So when they got there, on Mount Moriah, they saw the ram that is already tied at the ticket, waiting there for them. How did that manifest? Listen, whatever you are troubled about, if you're a child of God, tonight I've come to tell you, remove anxiety. That thing already is taken care of. Can I hear a louder amen? I said, can I hear a louder amen? I said, it is taken care of. In the name of Jesus. I say, in the name of Jesus. I say, in the name of Jesus. Listen, it's a go to a city. Because this thing must take place in a city. And listen, we are talking about Jerusalem. But I want you to understand that the Bible also talks about the heavenly Jerusalem. And talks about the Jerusalem that is on the earth here. There are two Jerusalems. People that dwell in the Jerusalem on the earth here, they still follow ritual. They still follow, you know, they still follow the Old Testament. Are you hearing me now? The laws, and they're still doing it. But the ones that are connected to the Jerusalem in heaven, the Lord Jesus, I'm taking care. Hi, Kaboshua. Are you hearing me now? They are taking care. That is what exactly what happened there. By the time they get to Jerusalem, to the city, everything has been furnished and prepared. So they didn't understand that there's a change of master. If you forget everything, don't forget that there's a change of master. David understood that. He said, I know that the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not be want. Because the Lord is my shepherd. He is in charge. He leads me to green pastures. How? It's not his duty to locate the pastures. The master that is the leader, the shepherd, sees where they are and he leads him to green pastures. The Lord orders the steps of the righteous. From today, the Lord will order your steps in life. As a child of God, the Lord orders the steps of the righteous. He will lead you to green pastures. And then, listen to me, sir. When you finish eating, you need water. That's why he said, leads me to still water. Because after eating, you drink. And that is still water. No animal has come there first. You are the first to arrive there. Now listen. After he had drank, he said, he restores my soul. There's a kind of... somebody is going to come down. You know you are coming down. Hallelujah! I say hallelujah! I want you to understand what he saw. Listen, especially because of the time we are in, the economic challenges of our time. You need this teaching. You need to understand that you're no longer the same with the Gentiles. What they're worrying about, don't worry about that. Your God is in charge. So David understood. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me to green pastures and brings me beside still waters. And then he said, it satisfies my soul. And then he said, your rod and then your staff, they are for my own comfort. Hallelujah. And then he leads me to the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, listen. That valley is called the valley of shadow of death. You are not going to die there. It is valley of shadow. What can shadow do to you, sir? What can shadow do to you, sir? You know why shadow is there? Because your master, who is the light, is also there. That's why it produces the shadow. So you are not alone. You are not alone. Tell your neighbor, I'm not alone. In that valley, my shepherd is still with me there. In that valley, my shepherd is there with me. That's why you see the shadow. Because the light comes. That's why you see the shadow. So the shadow, death is there, quite alright. But the light, your master is also there. What can death do in the face of life? So I don't know what you're going through. You can be in the valley of shadow of death. But listen to me, listen to me. You understand this thing very well. That when you have gone down the valley, you need to climb up. And it's not going to be an easy experience. So he has gone ahead of you. And then while you are coming here, he's preparing a table here for you. Because... because I know that as you are going through the valley, the issue is that tiredness, weakness, a lot of things. How am I going to do? What am I going to do next? What am I going to eat next? Don't worry. He has gone ahead. He's preparing a table for you at the other end because he's already waiting for you. Can I tell somebody? You will succeed. You will survive. If you will not survive, he will not have gone ahead the other side. You know what it means? He's waiting you at this side because he believes you will arrive. You will arrive. So he's waiting for you here. And he's setting table. What is he preparing for you? Table. Garnishing things and putting things for you. That is furnished and prepared, sir. He's setting table for you here. Putting everything in order and waiting for you to arrive. I said to you again tonight, you will arrive. You will not die in that valley. I said you will not die in that valley. I said you will not die in that valley. In the name of Jesus. You will not die there. You will arrive. Listen, listen. It is in the presence of your enemies that he is actually preparing the table for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will not understand, but let me explain to you. In the time of Noah, God told Noah to build an ark. Can he build an ark? Then he said to Noah, bring in all manner of animals inside the ark. Now, inside the ark, you have lion and then you have goat. How is it possible that the lions and goat could stay in one place? It is because Noah was inside. He carried a special anointing that when lion will want to misbehave and he looks at the face of Noah, something tells him, come down here. Just manage yourself here. And then all of them can stay in one place. Because your master is with you, there is nothing the enemy will do to you. Can I hear a louder amen? Do you see why he prepared the table in the presence? Because he knows that I'm here. Hey! 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 When we are younger, you know, little children, when anybody finds your trouble, where do you run? Do you run? Once you reach your papa's house and your papa is by the corner and you come and dash by the side, are you still afraid of that person? My father is around. My father is here. So he prepares a table for you. Now on the other side, and then as you come, then you will eat. When you finish eating, he now says again, my cup overflows. And then, you know, it looks rough. Going through the wilderness, going through the valley, every dust on your body, you will look somehow. Then he said, no, no, I won't leave you like that. I will also anoint your head. There is a change of master. Are you hearing me now? So David understood it. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He is your master and he is your Lord. Hallelujah. Can I say hallelujah? So when they got there, now remember, when they got there, everything, the lamp, the food, the bread, the wine, because it's a feast, every of these things have been provided, because they only entered the house to sit down, because the tables have been arranged. Is somebody hearing me now? They only came to sit down, but the owner of the house has bought everything, purchased everything, put everything in order, set it for them. They only entered to sit down, relax, and they ate. It was when they were eating that he now picked the bread and said, this is my body. Listen, because he wants to let them know that I am. Hallelujah. He wants to let them know that he is the Lamb of God. The Bible tells us that John the Baptist, while standing with his disciples, two of them, they saw him walking. Eh? And then as he passed, then John the Baptist looked at him and said, behold the Lamb of God. They understood because they were shepherds. But how comes that God himself now owns a lamb? Because this one person is the Lamb of God. Nobody in Israel, this one belongs to God. And it happened that this lamb now happened to be a human being. This is God's lamb. So he picked the bread and said, this is my body. My body will be torn into pieces on your behalf. I will be sacrificed on your behalf. Hey, hallelujah. That's hallelujah. And just like in Old Testament, once the sacrifice, once the lamb was offered, once, that 10th plague came. Pharaoh left them. Pharaoh released them. Now he was telling them, this is the lamb that will be offered. When once it happens, you are out of captivity. The whole world is out of the, you know, out of the captivity of Satan. The yoke of the devil is broken. Chains of Satan is broken. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. When that day that Israelites came out, poverty was broken that day. Now listen, God said, I'm going to make them favorable to you. So you are going to ask them for everything you need. Hear me. I don't know for how many years they have been laboring without pay. They never paid them. They never collected anything. But when they were about to go, God said, ask them for whatever you want. They will give you gold. They will give you silver. Hey, hear me well. They collected their arrears. Hey! God paid them their arrears. You have been laboring here. They never paid you. But now that you are going, they will settle everything. Your arrears will collect it. You are going with it. They came out with gold and silver. Hey, are you hearing me now? They came out with gold and silver. And they left the place. They came out. The devil could not hold them. The Pharaoh could not hold them anymore. So Jesus was saying, now I am the lamb. That once I'm offered, devil loses his grip over you. If you're a child of God, Satan has no power over your life. He has no grip over your life. Hallelujah. He can do you nothing. He can do you nothing. Because the Bible says that he disarmed the principalities and powers. He made a publisher of them, triumphing over them on the cross of Calvary. So he has disarmed principalities and powers. If you're a child of God, fear the devil no more. Fear Satan no more. You see, there is something I want to show you tonight. Very, very important. We must understand. Like the other day, I was talking about appropriating our redemption benefits. Very important. But I want to show you a scripture. Hallelujah. Because as a child of God, you must understand what it means to stand on the finished work of Jesus. And I want to show you an example from the Old Testament. Can we look at the book of Chronicles? Second Chronicles chapter 13. Sorry, it's going to be a bit long, but bear with me. Second Chronicles chapter 13. Hallelujah. I read, in the 18th year of the reign of Jeroboam, Abijah became king of Judah, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 years. His mother's name was Maacah, a daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. Now there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah went into battle with an army of 400,000 able fighting men. And Jeroboam drew up a battle line against him with 800,000 able troops. Abijah stood on Mount Zemarim in the hill country of Ephraim and said, Jeroboam and all Israel, listen to me. Now, listen. This Jeroboam had fought with Rehoboam. Now, Israel, at this point, Israel was divided. You have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Are you following me now? So, Jeroboam had fought with Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and defeated him. So at the time that Abijah took over, then he came again. Hello, are you following me now? He came again to also fight Abijah. So when he came, Abijah actually came with his soldiers and then got to this mountain. But listen carefully. You will learn something tonight. When he climbed the mountain, he began to address Jeroboam. Are you hearing me now? Now listen to what he told him. I want to teach you something here. What it means to stand on the finished work. Is somebody hearing me now? Okay. So he began to address him. Then let's continue from verse 5. Then he said to Jeroboam, Abijah is talking to him now. Don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant of salt. Now, when you talk of covenant of salt, you are talking about covenant, something that lasts forever. It is everlasting. You know, you use salt to preserve. It serves as a preservative. So, once God ask anybody to do sacrifice with salt, he's trying to show that this is something that's going to last forever. So he said, God has given kingship to David and his descendants and by covenant of salt. So it is something that will last forever. Then, if it is so, Jeroboam, you also have made yourself a king. Now, this your kingship is not in line with the will of God. It's not in line, are you following me now? With God's own will. Because the kingship has given to David and his descendants. So, any king in Israel that does not come from this lineage is fake. Are you following me this night? Now, listen. If you will rise to fight the king that is from this descendant of David, you will be fighting God himself directly. You are fighting against the God's own establishment. And there is no way you will succeed. Oh, I pray you get it. You will notice that he even reminded him, do you know that the priests that you installed, they were not from the tribe of Levi. You just gather people anywhere, from everywhere. Are you hearing me now? And then he suited them as priests. He reminded them that the gods you bow to, they are calves that you made with your own hands. Meaning that in Israel, under the kingship of David, does that descend that God have established that this is where the kingship of Israel will come from? Anybody anywhere that comes to fight this is fighting divine institution. And there is no way you will succeed, because it is by covenant. Listen to me. The things that God purchased to us, the blessings, are you hearing me now? That God purchased to us, for us, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, they are eternal. Your healing is not just for a moment, it is eternal. And God himself is the one that established it. It is by covenant. Through the covenant he entered with his son Jesus. So your healing is forever settled. Anytime devil rises up to challenge it, is a challenging and a divine institution. There is no way he will succeed. Oh, I just pray that somebody understand me. Because after Abijah had told Jeroboam, after he had mentioned these things to him, you will notice that the strength to fight, Jeroboam lost it. God took over the battle. They never did anything. The soldiers that gathered never did anything. God took over the battle. God is watching over his word. Ha! Are you hearing me now? He's watching over his word. It is his word that he will defend. When you stand on the finished work, the benefit of the finished work, and stand on it, devil can never defeat you. That's why I love that song in Hausa. Be steadfast. I will stand. And I will see his face. And I will see his power. When I steadfast, I will stand. And as I keep standing, I will see his power. Hey, is somebody here? I will see his glory. I will see his power. As I keep standing, that is what Abijah did. Abijah knew the truth. He came to the truth. And he stood on the truth. I said, I'm not moved. I am here. I know I'm standing on the side of God. There is no way you are going to win this battle. After he finished talking, God, the Bible said, God routed against the army. Sudden change, sudden power of God came on them. They were confused and they turned and have to run back. Your enemies from tonight, when you stand on the word of God, you will see the power of God working on your behalf. Your enemies will be turned back. I said they will be turned back. I said they will be turned back. I said they will be turned back. In the name of Jesus, I will stand fast on the truth. On the word of God, on the truth, on the finished work of Jesus on the cross, I will stand on it. Listen, when Goliath came out to challenge Israelites, the other soldiers, the army, they kept running away from Goliath for 40 days until David arrived. Listen, what David knew, others knew also. But they didn't recognize, they didn't put it into action. When David came, he looked at the size of Goliath, looked at the weapons, looked at everything, but he dictated something. He said, you uncircumcised Philistine. That was how they fought the battle. He knew where to stand. So as he looked at him and checked everything, he knew this man has no covenant with God. He's an uncircumcised Philistine. And he, David, has covenant with God. He had the covenant of circumcision. And what it means is that God is on his side. There is no way somebody that has no covenant with God will defeat somebody who God is on his side. It cannot happen. That was what gave David the courage. That was what gave him the boldness. He knew that he cannot lose that battle. Child of God, you cannot lose that battle. Guy, can I hear a louder amen? If you are standing on the side of God, you cannot lose that battle. There's no way you cannot lose it. You cannot. Listen, human kings knows what it means. Oh, we are not looking at kings and kingdoms. But I want to understand that in a kingdom, the word of the king is law. His word is final. The word of the king can never drop on the ground. Kai, are you hearing me now? That was why when John the Baptist was in the prison, Herod put him in prison. And when Herodias demanded for the head of John the Baptist, the Bible tells us that Herod loved John. He didn't want to kill John. But he had given a promise to his daughter and said, ask for whatever you want. That anything you ask for, even if it is half of the kingdom, I will give it to you. That is empire. That's kingdom for you. House of assembly, not don't need to meet. The man decided half of the kingdom, I give it to one small girl. Nobody will question that. Can I tell you? God don't need to hold meeting with any committee. Anytime he wants to actually bless you. God, you are not hearing what I'm saying. So he said, ask for anything you want, I will give it to you. Even half of the kingdom. And when the young girl consulted her mother said, go and ask him for the head of John the Baptist. Question, what will she do with the head of John the Baptist? You know, when I read that scripture, I was following to hear what Herodias did with the head. So, when the young girl asked for the head, Herod felt bad. But wanted. Is it the word of the king that will drop on the ground or the head of John the Baptist? Out of these two, one must come down. And the king look at it and say, king, for me to withdraw my word to fall down? No. Instead of my word coming down, the head of John the Baptist must come down. That is human king. So what makes you think that God will fail you? Why are you thinking the other way? Why are you thinking negative? Why do you think that standing on the finished work that it will fail? It will never. Tell your neighbor, God will never fail you. I said, God will never fail you. He will never. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. He will never fail. And immediately, Herod commanded the executioners, those that stood to execute his decree, he released them to bring down the head of John the Baptist. God have his executioners also. The angels of the Lord are around you. They will bring his promises to pass in your life. Can I hear a louder amen? Can I hear a louder amen? They will bring his promises to pass in your life. So I want you to understand how to stand on the promises. That is what this man did. That was what David did. He looked at him and said, no. I have covenant with God. I'm circumcised. This man, no matter your size, no matter the weapons you carry, it doesn't matter. God will fight you. Hallelujah. God is on my side. And then Goliath looked at him because he was asking them for a man. And he saw a small boy. That is how God works. When devil complicates, God simplifies. Do you hear what I said? When devil complicates, God simplifies. So he was looking for a huge man, a warrior. God simplified the thing. One young boy came out. And as the young man came out, he looked at him and said, am I a dog? Because what he saw in his hand was a catapult. But stone. Am I a dog that are coming to face me with this? Can't you see my size? And then, as he was looking, he said to David, I will kill you. I will give your body to the best of the air. David did not close his mouth. Listen to me. That is what Abijah did here. What we are saying, sir, you must learn to confess the word. You must learn to declare the word. You must learn to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Standing on the finished work, you must learn to declare it. You must learn to say it to the hearing of the devil. Is somebody hearing me now? He must hear it. That is the sword of the spirit. By the time it comes out of your mouth, it comes sharper than any two double-edged sword. That is what the devil fears most. So the devil didn't close his mouth, because this battle is battle of words. Devil was speaking to intimidate him, but he don't need to keep quiet. He also have to speak. Children of God are talking people. Sometimes you are talking to yourself, because there is something the devil is bringing around you, and you are speaking to yourself. I know I will overcome. I will overcome. By his stripes I am healed. I know I am more than a conqueror. He have disarmed the devil. You are speaking. You are letting the devil know. We are talking people. Don't close your mouth. Somebody said that a closed mouth is a closed destiny. Don't close your mouth. Speak the word. Confess the word. Talk the word. Say it out. Keep saying it. Oh, I love that song. Steadfast, I will stand. I will see his power. I will see his glory. Stand fast. Stand on it. Stand on it. So David stood his ground, because David understood. He said, no, I am the one that will bring you down. With what, sir? He has a catapult. He said, I will cut your head. With what, sir? Because he has no sword in his hand. Hey, are you hearing me now? But when you say it, you have creative power in your mouth. When you say it, he has a way of turning things to your favor. Because when he said it, he never knew he was saying, I'm going to use your own sword to cut your own head. And so, when he said it, he didn't wait. Hallelujah. Before he moved, he had already gathered 5 stones and put inside the bag. It was not at the battle front that he began to look for the stone. He had gathered them earlier. They are inside the heart. Give yourself to the word of God. Gather the thing inside. Gather the word. Be a man of the word. Every day, I read 10 chapters of the Bible. Every day, I must take 10 chapters of the Bible. I put the word of God in my inside. When the time comes, I draw them out. I draw the one that fits the occasion. When I read, kai. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? So when he saw it, he now moved closer. He crossed the battle line. He didn't wait for the battle to be fought on his territory, because it can be dangerous. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Because if I can't win you, I can destroy your properties, because it is your own territory. So he crossed the battle line and came over to the other side. And then he released the stone that has eyes, the stone that can see. He released a living stone. The man covered himself everywhere, but there is the forehead where there's nothing that covers it. The stone could see the forehead. He could see the place that is not covered. And the stone went straight and came to that place. You can cover everywhere, but I am the omnipresence. I am the omnipotent. I am the omniscient. I know everything. I can see your weakness. I can see your loophole. I know where to get you. Hey! God is a strategic fighter. God is a strategic fighter. Now, that's Pharaoh. By the time they entered the race with Israel, listen. He waited. When they entered, Israelite cross. Hey! Listen. You know, we always talk about the miracle of parting of the water. But I saw something more wonderful than that. Do you know that when the Egyptians came and they met them, where they camp? The Bible said that the pillar of fire that always was on the front relocated, changed location, came in between the Egyptians and Israelites. Now, as he came there, the same one pillar was producing light and darkness at the same time. Please, somebody tell me, how possible is it? The same pillar producing light and darkness at the same time. Now, to these people on this side, he was giving them light. To these people on this side, they're giving them darkness. Listen, now look at even what is more wonderful here. If I am dwelling where a place that is lighted up, you that is in darkness will see me. But Israelites were dwelling in the light. These people were dwelling in the darkness. But yet, from there, they couldn't see the people that we are standing and dwelling in the light. Oh, you don't understand it. Hallelujah. They couldn't see them. And God made it so. When they even took off, by the time God parted the sea and they took off, he didn't actually open their eyes. He didn't release it. He released them. They remained blind. They couldn't see. Until Israelites had gone halfway in the midst of the sea. I told you that God is a strategic fighter. Is somebody hearing me now? Until they have gone middle and almost about to cross the other side. Then he opened their eyes suddenly. So they could see them. Ah, they have gone. Then they pursue. Do you know the plan? By the time they are coming to the middle, these people have crossed over the other side. As they got to the middle, God went to the wheels of the chariots. That is what we give them speed when they want to escape. Hey! He's a strategic fighter. And went and removed the wheels of the chariots. Because they won't be able to run out. So when he asked Moses, now struck the water back, and immediately hit it in. As the water started coming together, they turned to go. There's no way. The wheels are out. You're not going anywhere. So the stone located the face of Goliath. And then, listen, when the stone came, he hit the forehead. Everybody know that if a heavy object hits you in the front forehead, you should fall backwards. He didn't fall backward. He came forward. At the mentioning of the name of Jesus, every knee bows. That man, he picked 5 stones. And in letters in the name of Jesus, there are 5 letters. And he used only J. Because Goliath has other 4 brothers. There are 5 giants. So, he was not only prepared for Goliath. He was prepared also for the 4 brothers. Of course, do you know, it was the men of David that killed the other 4. Because a giant killer must give birth to giant killers. So that was how Goliath came face down. And David rushed. And then used the sword. Remember he said, I will cut your head. He took his own sword. He took his own sword. Cut his head off. But you see, he received special grace that day to carry that sword. At that age, it was very heavy for him. That was the first time he used it, and he never used it again. Because it was after he had grown up. Are you hearing me now? When he was running away from Saul, that he came to the priest and was asking the priest, is there anything here? He said, we have one sword here, and it is the sword of Goliath. He said, give it to me. It's okay for me now. I can handle it now. I can handle it now. Listen, you must learn to stand. Are you hearing me now? Stand on the word of God. Steadfast. Stand on it. Now listen, why this teaching is coming at this time is that God wants most of us here to understand. You need not to worry. Is somebody hearing me now? You need not to worry. I don't know what you're worried about, but it has been taken care of. Can I hear you shout a louder amen? Can I hear you shout a louder amen? Can I hear you shout a louder amen? It has been taken care of. God has taken care of it. One other reason why this teaching is coming is because of ignorance that is in the church. When, before David died, he did something. He wanted to build a temple for God. And God said, no, you are not the one to build a temple for me. Your son Solomon will build it. But every material, all the things that will be needed for the building of the temple, David provided all of them. Furnished and prepared. Are you getting what I'm saying now? He provided for everything. Hey! Listen. He said, think gold for the things of gold, silver for the things of silver, bronze for the things of bronze, stone for the things of stone. Now he said, I gathered all these things plenty in their quantity. They are oversupply. Listen to me, in Christ Jesus, everything you need to build your life, everything you need to succeed in life, Jesus has provided. The grace of God, it can never be quantified. Peace is already meant for you. The patience you need are already prepared. They are provided. You know why I'm talking about this? Gold for the things of gold. It's because many a times we misplace it. Can you imagine? You know, this house now, why building this? And the place where you need to put iron, then you put wood there. Are you getting what I'm saying now? No, it will not fit in. Are you hearing me now? So many a times in the house of God, and even as we are building our lives, we misplace things. Where what you needed is wisdom, you'll be praying. Is someone following me now? Think gold for the things of gold. So, if everything has been provided, furnished and prepared, can you imagine leaving the house and go to the market and I'm looking for these properties to buy them again? That is not what I should be doing. Because everything I need is already prepared. I should be able to understand how to receive and then to be able to make use of them. So this conference is meant to help you. Is somebody hearing me now? Is somebody hearing me now? So that there are times you need to appropriate what God has prepared. Now, if you are doing the wrong thing, you will not get the desired result. Gold for the things of gold. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. And therefore, if you understand these things, there are several times, instead of asking, you should be giving thanks. You should be giving thanks. Now, if you understand these things, when the devil fires your heart, are you hearing me now? With what is called the fiery darts, that is thoughts. When he fires the thoughts of lack, fire the thought in your heart that you will receive this thing. This thing will come to you. This thing will come to you. Then as he brings that, then he said, we are going to quench this fiery death with what? The shield of faith. Now, you are going to bring in the word of God. Hello? And stand on the word. Now, the best way to express faith is thanksgiving. It throws the devil into confusion. So now, he's telling you, you don't have it. And you will never have it. You will laugh at the devil because he's speaking foolishness. Hallelujah. It's not my problem now. He's speaking foolishness because what he's telling you is what you know, that already you have them. So as he's talking, you don't mind it. You are saying, Father, thank you. Because by his stripes, I am healed. I told you the other day that the sense is in the tense. Eh? The sense is in the tense. Healed. You are delivered. Those that he called. He justified. Those he justified, he glorified. The sense is in the text. So you have it already. Are you looking for glory? You are sharing his glory. Hey. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? You are sharing. Listen. I want to close here. Listen. When Jesus was talking in Romans 6, he said, Look at the release of the valley. Solomon, in all his effort to glorify himself, are you hearing me now? And he went to the market and purchased the best regalia. He put it on, dressed himself. But he said, when God decided to dress the release of the valley, those grass, they became more glorious than Solomon. Listen, Jesus has decided to share his glory with us. The glory you are carrying is the glory of Jesus. That is what they have decided to give to you. Because when in the book of Revelation, you see the Bible says that the Son of Man went to the Ancient of Days and collected wisdom and received knowledge and received power. Jesus don't need them there. He was collecting them for you. He was bringing them back for you. So God clothed the grass and they look more glorious than Solomon. Listen to me. I want you to know that God has prepared glory for you. That glory is the glory of Jesus that we are sharing with him. If you can learn how to take what he has prepared for you, I tell you, you will no longer be worried. Anxiety dies in your life. Even from tonight, I said to somebody here, worriness and anxiety, it dies in your life permanently. I said, it dies in your life permanently. I said, it dies in your life permanently. In the name of Jesus. 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 You should not worry. You should keep living your life. Seek first the kingdom of God. Keep serving God with understanding of what he has prepared for you. Everything is furnished and prepared for you. You should keep on serving him. At the right time, when you needed any one of them, the Lord brings them to your table. At the right time, the husband will come. At the right time, the money you needed for that thing will come. At the right time, everything you need to be able to handle your problem. At the right time. Some people are worried for what will happen in the next 20 years. Don't worry about that. Because the Lord, somebody said, sir, that when people begin to tell him the way the country is going now, how are we going to survive it in the next 20 years? In the next 30 years, how are we going to survive it? And he said, why should I be worried about that? As if in the next 20 years, Jesus would have been dethroned. Is he there? Tell your neighbor, is he there? Let nobody... God is trying to help us, and he has helped us. I say he has helped us. I say he has helped us. In this conference, the Lord has helped us. In this conference, the Lord has helped us. The Lord has helped you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can you be on your feet wherever you are? I want you to begin to thank him now for what already has prepared for you. That money you are looking for, that money you are believing God for, is already provided. Can I hear a louder amen here? I said, can I hear a louder amen here? It's already provided for you. That deliverance you are trusting God for, you are already delivered, because he delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of light. You have a new location, a new vacation. I hear what I'm saying now. It's a new thing. You are in a new place. You are already in the kingdom of God. You must learn to align with the Holy Ghost. That is the picture, the man that's carrying the picture of water. You must learn to align with you, because the man will meet you. The Holy Ghost will meet you. When he comes, he gives you revelation. He helps you to understand better. He helps you to understand what God has already done for you in Jesus. May from today, I pray that your encounter with the Holy Ghost will continue to increase. Can I hear a louder amen? You are going to pray. You are going to align with the Holy Ghost. You are going to ask the Lord more of your spirit in my life. Listen, sir. In the book of Ezekiel, the Bible tells us Ezekiel saw a revelation. And then when he brought him to the water, you remember, he said, when a 1,000 cubits was measured. It was at what? Ankle. Then another 1,000 was measured. It come to the knee. Another 1,000 was measured. It came to the waist. Another 1,000 was measured. Then it was over him that he had to swim. But you know, he stopped at that. There could be more 1,000. Another 1,000. Another 1,000. Another 1,000. Another 1,000. Another 1,000. Another 1,000. It will have no end. Can somebody pray this night and say to God, a cubic, 1,000 cubic more in my life. 1,000 cubic more in my life. More, 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 more. More of the Holy Ghost. More. Because that man that carried the pitcher, he will meet you. He's the one that will lead you. As we are living our lives in God, Holy Ghost will lead us. Holy Ghost will bring insight. He will give us revelation. He will give you more insight. He will open the thing more. Even all that you have learned in this conference, he will teach you more. He will teach you more. More, 1,000 cubits. More, 1,000 cubits. More, more, more. I want to hear you pray now. More. 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 Yes, Lord. Makapatoshua. Legede kapata. Lepratos kapata shua. Legede kapata. Legede. This meeting is for believers. This team is for believers. This team, this team, this team, this program, this team is for believers. God wants to help us. God wants to help believers. He wants to handle anxiety, worriness in our lives. He wants to tell us that He cares for us. He wants to let us know that we should not worry. More, 1,000 cubits more, 1,000 cubits more, 1,000 cubits more. Cry. Yes, Lord. Makapatos, lebratas kapa, legede kapatoswa, lagushwa kapatesia, lagoshwa kapatos, legete kata, yagushwa kapatesia, lebetes kete, legushwa, yagushwa, yagoshwa. The Spirit of God is your friend. You must embrace Him. You must make Him your friend. We must be closer to the Holy Ghost. He is the man carrying the pitcher of water. He's the one that will need us. He's the one that will help us. He's the one that you need. You need Him most. In this altar, you need Him most. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Rakushua, Kapatesia, Yakoshua. I want somebody here. Begin to thank God. Thank Him for the blessings. Thank Him for the blessings. Because you are already blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. Go ahead and thank Him for the blessings. Thank Him for your healing. Thank Him for your deliverance. Thank Him for the provision He has provided. You are trusting God for money. Finances to start a business. Finances to further your education. Finances. What are you trusting God for? Begin to thank Him because He has already provided. Go ahead and thank Him. He has already provided for you. He has already given it to you. That your stubborn child, the Lord has taken care of them. Because the servants, the children of the servants of the Lord, the man will have a something for them. He said they will dwell secured in the land. I want you to go ahead. Begin to thank God. What is that problem? What is that challenge? Worry not. The Lord has taken care. Thank Him because He has provided for what you're looking for. Go ahead and thank Him at this hour. Thank Him, the Lord has set you free. Thank Him, the Lord has delivered you. Thank Him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Can I hear a louder?
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.